Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save, fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Programming note off the top here. Later on in our program, we're going to say hello to one of the guys that was instrumental in Georgia's victory over Notre Dame back in 2017. A really fun night for dog fans who made the trip up to Chicago and South Bend, and a great memory for UGA fans no matter where you were when it went down. You probably have fond memories of that game. And one of the guys at the center of all of that was the former Georgia linebacker, Davin Bellamy. Davin's going to be on our program today and share his own memories of Georgia's victory at South Bend and against Notre Dame going back to 2017. So you'll like that coming up from Davin Bellamy a little bit later on. It's good to have you with us as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. Obviously, the attention is on what's going to happen on Saturday when Georgia hosts Notre Dame in the second of this home-and-home series. And it was fun 2 years ago. I think it's going to be even more fun, tomorrow. But the one thing from a storyline standpoint that is probably going to be a good bit different this time, at least according to Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly, than the last time these two teams got together in 2017. Remember the thousands and thousands and thousands of UGA fans who descended upon, as I said before, Chicago and South Bend and kind of everything else in between there in that regard. Remember how many Georgia fans there were and how impactful that became? Notre Dame quarterback Brandon Wimbush that day had to go silent count in his own stadium, and it obviously helped propel UGA to victory, all the dog fans that were there. Well, when Brian Kelly made an appearance on SportsCenter this week, he was on with Scott Van Pelt. Kelly, the Notre Dame coach, says he doesn't expect Irish fans to return the favor when it comes to all of this. He expects to, I guess, he see some Notre Dame fans in the building, but apparently not too many tomorrow night. Here is what Brian Kelly said about that on SportsCenter.
Well, I think they'd like to go down there, but I think Georgia's done a pretty good job of making sure that nobody with green or blue is going to be in the stands, but that's fine. I mean, I think that's what a home field advantage is about, and I think Georgia's done a really good job of holding on to their tickets, and rightfully so. So it should be a great atmosphere. Our guys are used to playing on the road, and we've got ways to make sure that they've seen a lot of red this week, so we're prepared for it.
Possible gamesmanship by Georgia. Brian Kelly says, we've been looking at a lot of red this week. There are some Georgia fans who wonder if maybe Kelly's looking at the wrong color, that maybe Georgia's actually going to unveil some black. I don't necessarily expect that to happen, but it's kind of funny that Kelly hypes up the red there when there's been so much talk from Georgia fans over the last, really 48 hours for sure, this week in general, about the possibility of it being a predominantly black-dressed crowd, and maybe even the Georgia players themselves following in on that. I don't really quite know what to say about that, but I do think it's kind of funny that Kelly mentions the red. And I also think that clip from Kelly has played in a lot to what he has really made his theme this week. He is reveling in the idea of being such a big underdog. A lot of coaches like doing that. You know, Kelly had the thing going back to Sunday night where it's like, we're going to try to find 22 guys and get on a plane and go out there and see what we can do. And, you know, right there, we don't expect to have many of our own fans, and we've been in hostile buildings before. This one's going to be really tough. You'll hear some more from that and from Kelly in a moment. He has definitely played up the underdog card, which I guess if you're the opposing coach in this situation, that is there for you. I guess he'd be a fool not to do that. So clearly he's enjoying the idea that no one seems to believe in his team going into Saturday. Around here, we've said the lack of belief for Notre Dame is for good reason, but we'll find out how it plays on Saturday night. However, there's something else I want to talk about for a moment, because admittedly, I may read too much into this. I may try to find a storyline where a storyline doesn't exist, but I do think it's really interesting every time, and it's Scott Van Pelt, what you're about to hear. It was press conference going back to Monday, and I'll share some of that too. It was radio show last night. Kelly does his radio show on Thursday, the way that a lot of coaches do. And kind of every time that Brian Kelly is asked, hey, what is it that makes Georgia so tough to beat? Brian Kelly seems to have a very similar answer to that question every single time. And based on our own conversation about this game this week, Kelly's response isn't necessarily the obvious answer. Here's what he said earlier in the week when Scott Van Pelt asked him, hey, what's the tough thing about trying to beat Georgia? Here's what Kelly said about that on ESPN.
The quarterback is extremely efficient. I think you start with him. He started as a freshman against us. I loved his poise. I loved his demeanor, a high percentage quarterback. And now with a couple of more years of experience, he just manages the offense extremely well. He's very patient. He's not going to put himself in a bad position. And then he's got great skill. The deepest running back core. He's got emerging wide receivers, a big, big offensive line. And then what Kirby's known for is an aggressive attacking defense with speed. So, not much.
just, other than that.
Nothing really. Just some really good players.
So you hear more of the kind of the poor mouth coach routine from the aw shucks routine from Kelly there at the end. But you also hear, now he does mention receivers and running backs. He talks about defense and this and that. But primarily, the first thing that he brings up is, boy, this quarterback, Jake Fromm, is so tough to deal with. This quarterback, Fromm, who we saw as a freshman back in 2017, he presents a lot of challenges for us. Now, I want you to listen to this. When asked the same question by a Notre Dame reporter on Monday in South Bend, listen once again to how similar, for the most part anyway, Kelly's answer was on that question. Here's Kelly going back to Monday.
What are one or two things about them specifically that you think makes them a really difficult team to beat?
The quarterback. The quarterback. He's efficient. He's unflappable. You can pressure him and he doesn't panic. He makes great decisions. He's sound with the ball. And it generally, look, when you get down to the really great teams, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence. You're going to get the great quarterbacks are going to be the reason why they start to separate. And Fromm is one of those guys that gets you to start to separate.
I mean, like I said, I don't want to read into this what's not there, and I don't want to act like Jake Fromm is not worthy of praise. Obviously, through 2+ years as a starting quarterback, he's definitely earned the praise that he's going to get from Kelly and other people. But isn't it kind of interesting a little bit that given multiple opportunities to say what's the most challenging thing to say about trying to beat Georgia or dealing with Georgia, Kelly doesn't seem to mention top of mind the thing that we all mention every time we talk about this. The Notre Dame rush defense has been terrible, and the Georgia running backs, at least I won't even say on paper, I mean, we've seen it with our own eyes now for a couple of years, the Georgia running backs are a load to deal with, even against a good rush defense. I mean, isn't that kind of weird? And I don't know that this is a gamesmanship on Kelly's part. It could be that he's not putting a whole lot of thought in the answer. I mean, certainly he's not under an obligation to reveal his innermost thoughts about any of this kind of stuff. But it's three different instances, at least. It's the Monday press conference you just heard. It was the Scott Van Pelt interview. It was also the radio show last night. I don't have that clip, but it was essentially the same thing where, hey, what's the tough thing about Georgia? Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And Jake Fromm is certainly capable of leading UGA to a victory over Notre Dame on Saturday, but that's not what most Georgia fans think is going to happen, nor is that what most national media folks seem to think is going to happen. They seem to think that the real issue for Notre Dame is the difficulty of stopping Georgia's running game. In fact, our buddy Cole Kubelik, SEC Network analyst, a former Auburn offensive lineman, he had an interesting tweet about this going back a little earlier in the week about what the real challenge for Notre Dame is. Cole tweets out that the Notre Dame defense has allowed 19 running plays of 10 or more yards this season. He says only 13 teams have allowed more this season. However, all 13 of those teams have played 3 games. Notre Dame has played just 2. So essentially, Notre Dame through 2 games has given up as many big running plays as any team in America, and those teams have played an extra game in comparison to Notre Dame. So obviously, it would stand to reason here that the real issue for Notre Dame is not Fromm, although Fromm is a key factor in this discussion. It's probably the inability, at least on paper, of Notre Dame to stop the UGA rushing attack. And I think that if you can't get past that on Saturday, then there really is no pathway for Notre Dame whatsoever. So it's kind of some interesting conjecture from Kelly in terms of how he's talked about that game. One more point on kind of this subject with Notre Dame, and then we're going to move on and talk about a couple of other things. I saw some interesting stats from our friends over at 538. Now, 538 is an analytics site, mostly focused on politics. Sometimes when they veer into the world of sports, they kind of get it wrong. On this one, I'm not quite so sure how they've gotten it wrong. I'll show you the chart that they put up at their site, 538.com. I'll even put a link to this when we do the podcast, the world-famous dognation.com, a little bit later on. Two big takeaways from the numbers, if you're watching a video you see on your screen. So ironically, for as much pressure as there seems to be on George in this game, according to the folks at 538, that Notre Dame actually needs the game more, that Georgia's playoff chances actually don't go down all that much, if Georgia were to necessarily lose. If Georgia were to lose this game, they actually still have a better chance of overcoming that victory, making the playoff, than Notre Dame obviously would. Notre Dame, in terms of the overall playoff odds, they need this game a lot more. But the other thing that the 538 folks kind of pointed out, which I thought was interesting, is you don't really think of Georgia having a lot of fans who are not UGA fans rooting for tomorrow. But on that same chart I just showed you, because Notre Dame's an independent, and an independent last year took one of the four playoff spots, that if Georgia wins tomorrow, the playoff odds for Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, even Oregon, virtually Oklahoma, virtually every other major playoff contender, the potential conference champions from the other leagues, their playoff chances also go up if Georgia effectively eliminates Notre Dame tomorrow. So keep your eye on that, about what the playoff discussion becomes if Georgia wins. It's not helped maybe as much as some people might think. The real work for Georgia probably happens in the month of November, but the Dogs could effectively eliminate Notre Dame. Listen, I mean, the overall bottom line to all of this is the time for talking is almost done. The time for football begins tomorrow night. It's going to be an amazing day throughout the day in Athens, and then a historic game tomorrow night, and I'm just like all of you, I can't wait to see it. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're there every day at noon. And, of course, as a podcast, wherever you find them. As I said before, we'll even post the podcast for you to worldfamousdognation.com. Just really glad to have you with us. And I really appreciate Kroger making it all possible. And by the way, when you're getting ready for your tailgate party tomorrow or your watching party there at your house, don't forget the great savings at Kroger. Let me give you a couple of ideas here. When you use your card at Kroger, the savings include pork Boston butt, center cut pork chops, pork baby back ribs, brats and Italian sausage. Also, all the really good stuff to go along with those items, like Kroger barbecue sauce for just 99 cents and Kroger Bakery take and bake bread. That's savings with some serious chops. Make sure you check that out at Kroger. Now, by the way, speaking of our friends at Kroger, they're also part of our Dog Nation Express tomorrow. Now, my bosses get mad at me every time I mention Dog Nation Express because it has been sold out now for a while. Many of you are still banging down our door trying to get in. I understand why. But I just want to let you know that I can't wait to hang out with the folks at Kroger tomorrow, our friends from Pella Window and Door. What a great time it's going to be. The bus rolling out of Atlanta, heading into Athens for an all-day tailgate. And I know many of you have got your own plans for tomorrow. So y'all hit us up on social media. Let us know what you're doing. We'll try to do the same thing. Big day of a broadcast for us tomorrow. Now, before I get Jeff's intel and we do a little recruiting talk with him, let's go around the doghouse here. It's presented today by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And I want to go back in time just briefly because I was thinking about a couple of things that now a group of former Georgia players said before Georgia played Notre Dame going back to 2017. And I think at least in one respect, what Dominic Sanders said back then is probably pretty good advice for UGA this weekend as well. Let me show you his quote first. Leading into the Notre Dame game a year ago, he was asked, "Dominic, what do you think about all this Notre Dame history, the tradition, the 7 Heisman Trophy winners, the 11 national championships, blah, 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 blah." Well, Dominic Sanders said back then, "I didn't really know anything about that Notre Dame history. But you know, my main thing is coming out and punishing them from the start. I really don't care about what they've got going on." Sanders said that then. Georgia, for the most part, went out and did that. And boy, that seems like pretty good advice for this Georgia team on Saturday as well, to come out and set that tone early. We have talked about how important it's going to be for the Georgia team to get off to a fast start, to give the Georgia crowd a chance to make the impact on this game from the word go they want to make, and then maintain that throughout 60 minutes. But the idea of punishing from the start, even if that was probably not exactly what Kirby Smart wanted to hear back then, I think it's pretty good advice for Saturday. And then one more quote going back in time. Jonathan Ledbetter also said something going into that game that I thought was a little bit out of character for him and a little bit out of character for Georgia in general, but it ended up maybe foreshadowing a level of confidence that UGA had about that season, even though at the time we didn't know how good they'd be. Ledbetter said of that game going against Notre Dame, he says, "I know everyone's itching to get a good lick on every single one of their guys. Definitely respect them," Ledbetter said, "but good competition is hard to come by. So when you see it, and everybody's raving about it, you want to prove a point. So we're ready to prove a point." Now, Georgia ended up proving more than just a point against Notre Dame in 2017. They proved it against virtually every team it faced that season and announced its arrival on the biggest stage in college football. It made the playoff that year, after all. But when Ledbetter said those things then, we didn't know how true his words would end up being. But that reminder from 2017 from him and Sanders both, I think that's a pretty good idea for the kind of mentality Georgia ought to take this game as well, especially after the doubters grew after 2018. Another chance for Georgia to prove a point on Saturday against Notre Dame, and I am sure the Dogs will be up to the challenge. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And, you know, obviously this is a fun weekend where everyone's thinking about fun stuff, but if you are going through the divorce process, we know that's not a fun thing for you. I can't make it fun, but I can make it better. And my friends at Merriweather and Tharp can help you do that because they're an advocate that will stand by your side. Confusing situation, tough questions, fear for not just you and your financial future, but your family as well and your children. How they're going to be impacted by all of this. These are not easy questions to answer, but experts can provide the help that you need. And that's why I would invite you to trust my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. But I'm going to tell you how to get in touch with them. The website to go to is theatlantadivorceteam.com. Theatlantadivorceteam.com. My friends at Merriweather and Tharp will stand by your side. They will be your advocate in this process, and you'll be glad you put your trust in them. All right, it is a busy day for us on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. It's Davin Bellamy later on to tell his stories of the 2017 win against Notre Dame. But for now, a lot of recruiting storylines to address is also. Let's talk to our buddy Jeff Sintel about that.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Boy, I'm glad to have Jeff Sintel on today. Jeff has absolutely been killing it from a reporting standpoint this week. Caleb Williams' story going up at DogNation.com today. Good stuff on Theo Johnson, which we'll get to. Good stuff on Noah Sewell, which we'll get to. Kind of a running, almost real-time updates on the recruiting list as it grows, in some cases as it doesn't include some names that some fans were hoping to hear. So we'll do a lot of this in a short amount of time with Jeff Sintel as a part of our program today. But Jeff, before I get to the serious stuff, can I do something kind of non-serious for a moment? We had fun last night, and what a time we had at the Marlowe's matchup. At the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners, myself and John Stinchcomb. And one of the things we talked about with the folks that gathered, we had a huge crowd on the patio last night, and our video audience that tuned in to watch, the subject of the black jerseys came up again. You know, the UGA football equipment account on Instagram kind of showed the picture of the helmet and the pants, but no jersey, kind of fanning the flames a little bit from those who really, really want Georgia to wear black jerseys. My assumption on Saturday is it's a traditional Georgia home game, which means a traditional Georgia uniform. The crowd's going to be hyped up already as it is. But when it comes to the constituency that you probably care most about, the recruits that you cover, how much do you think they would like it if Georgia wore an alternate uniform on Saturday?
Yeah, Brandon, I tell you, that's a fun conversation because, you know, what do we talk about sometimes? That's the ceremonial garb, or at least the spring practice attire. I mean, when they try that jersey on in the locker room, the coaches are being accurate when you say, you know, you'll get to wear that at Georgia if you come here, because it's true. That's what the G-Day is for the first team defense. But either it is or what it is. Here's what you say. You say night game, it's 8 o'clock. It's the most incredible exposure for the University of Georgia. A 3.5-hour commercial that this is a showcase team ready to put down a showcase performance. There'll be the red lighting. There'll be the light up Sanford. Will they have black jerseys? You know, all this stuff adds to the intrigue of the game. But, you know, this is a game. If Georgia pulls the black jerseys out, and it's simply because, A, the players wanted them, or they reached some goals in preseason or early in the season, and that's what they're getting is a merit base. But, Brendan, you and I have talked about this for 5 years now almost. That this staff believes that you play the game, and it doesn't matter what type of jersey you wear. The type of jersey you wear is not going to make you geek up for opponent any bigger. It's not going to make you play better. It's probably more than likely going to fire up the opponent by seeing you put on black. There's a lot of yin and yang to go along with this, but if you're a good football team, you think you can ready to play a great football game, and you go out in the black jerseys and you drop the microphone with some sort of hammer victory, well, then that comes out as a beautiful showcase night for Georgia football.
I think it's well said. You certainly have stirred up a lot of trouble this week. And I don't mean trouble in a bad way. I just mean a lot of talk. Some of this goes back to before the hedges presented by Kroger on Wednesday. A lot of this in our forum at forum.dognation.com, the idea that Georgia could add a surprise visitor to the list on Saturday, at least the potential of that, may be one of the running backs. We know that five-star running back Zachary Evans does not plan to attend here this weekend, but you did mention the name of Tank Bigsby in the Dog Nation Forum this week, obviously an Auburn commit. Jeff, I got to tell you, there are a lot of Georgia fans who would receive that news quite favorably if Bigsby did show up on campus here this weekend. And for someone like me who likes the drama, the twists and the turns and the intrigue, I'd be pretty happy with that and kind of interested in that too. So since you opened this door, I'm going to invite you to walk through it. What do you think happens with maybe an extra visitor added to this list in terms of a high-profile running back committed elsewhere?
Yeah, Brandon, I think that's what you need to get, add a little bit more great googly moogly intrigue to that visitors list that's already on dognation.com about the names that are up there. All I know is this, and you know me, I'm not so much of the hot stirrer or the carnival barker. You know, others will sit there and say this is the greatest weekend in Georgia recruiting history under Kirby Smart. Well, I'm just going to just call it like it is, because this weekend is enough for Georgia to carry the point that this is a tremendous weekend. I got to be an accurate dude and think about, you know, I remember 10, 11, 12 five-stars walking the lines of Sanford Stadium and names like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Nolan Smith, Owen Popoe, Jaden Hazelwood. So, you know, with Tank, if he shows up in Athens, that would be very intriguing, and it would just add to more of the depth with Georgia. I think they've got 21, 22 players that are ranked in the top 10 at their position. I think they've got 20 now top 100 prospects in some type of class in there at that game. And you know, there's no need to, you know, go Carnival Barker or Service Master by saying this is the greatest recruiting weekend in Georgia history. It's not there yet, and that's not just because I'm not trying to dilute this game for anybody. It's because folks need to realize that those teams and all those players that they see on the Georgia roster right now were part of those visitors list for games a couple years ago, and those were pretty stout lists themselves.
So, simple question here. It sounds like you think whatever may or may not be going on with Zachary Evans, one way or another, Georgia is either maintaining its pursuit of other running backs or intensifying that pursuit of other running backs, Bigsby included. Is that a fair assessment of your opinion?
Well, Brandon, that's just what any professional outfit does. I mean, I know you and the crack team behind that glass, if, you know, Davin Bellamy doesn't show up, you're ready to pull out a Sony Michel or you know, anybody else you can at a moment's notice. And if for some reason Jeff has to be a five-star dad, I'm sure you've got Tom Luganville online too, ready to take the spot on the world-famous Dog Nation Daily program.
It ain't going
to
be Luganville, Jeff. If it's not you, I can promise you it ain't going to be Luganville.
Well, but, you know, I would say with that is that that's just due diligence, Brandon. That's just doing what they should. And, you know, everybody wants to get deep into the weeds on Zachary Evans, and I don't think it's my place to get deep into the weeds on Zachary Evans. The only thing that makes a lot of sense to Zach's story going forward is he needs to be a great player, a great teammate, and I think the way he handles this adversity, this internal adversity, not playing, whatever he's going through, has stirred up some headlines. I think if he handles that like a more mature, composed young man, I think that will go a long way for him finding a great fit in college football anywhere, including the University of Georgia.
All right, I got more questions for Jeff Sidentel coming up. Before that, though, let me tell you about my friends at the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. This is an important organization for those of you who are in this industry to be aware of, because when it comes to your wages, your quality of life, my friends at the ANG BTC are going to work hard to improve that for you. They're dedicated to your economic stability, creating more work opportunities. You can earn as much as $100,000 while serving in an apprenticeship. It's a no-tuition apprentice training type situation. You can also get employer-paid pension and insurance, and wages up to 30% higher than non-union workers. This isn't just for men only either. It's you know, women as well. You're encouraged to apply here on this, and there are a couple different ways for you to get in touch. Go to this website, GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. That website, once again, GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. Or call 404-584-0005, 404-584-0005, and get in touch with the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. And it's great to have them as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. Jeff, let me kind of shift gears here and talk about another name for a moment. Your piece at DogNation.com with Noah Sewell previewing his official visit for this weekend, I thought was a tremendous reporting. And I have said now for a while, speaking as a fan, it's hard for me to predict what Sewell's going to do. He's obviously interested in UGA, but boy, Orem, Utah, brother at Oregon, this seems like a challenging recruitment for Georgia. The one thing, though, that does make me view Georgia's chances favorably are the ways in which, you know, he talks in your article about his relationship with Glenn Schumann. We've talked before, you and I have, about his relationship with other linebackers on this Georgia roster. I believe that relationships matter more than anything else in recruiting, more than jerseys, more than cool social media edits, more than anything. It's relationships. And there's no doubt Sewell seems to have a lot of those, which certainly makes me feel like Georgia is very much in this, even if they ultimately don't win it when it comes to Sewell. You've talked to him now a few times. What's your takeaway from that discussion?
Yeah, so, Brandon, I know you have a family show, a PG show. You want people to enjoy the moments here. But when I think of Noah Sewell, I'm going to hearken to that Pulp Fiction movie. You remember that wallet that Samuel L. Jackson carried around? What was inscribed on that wallet? And that's as far as I'll take that.
Huh.
That guy is a tremendous football player. You know, maybe the most important, maybe the most refreshing thing for me about when I speak to Noah and his family is this dude is just rock solid stable. You look at him play, you look at his size, and he really hasn't hit the weights yet. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's simply he said in during the summer he wanted to make his decision before the end of his senior year. That answer is still the same. He said over the summer that he had three official visits scheduled. That answer is still the same. He's overgone an eight-week recovery from a broken bone in his foot, and he comes out to the practice field, and his high school football coach is saying, I forgot what Superman looked like in practice. I think the things that I hope a lot of those savvy Dog Nation readers and even those CSI Brandon readers will take away is sounds like he really wants to play in the SEC. That's a big boy league, and that's his term, not mine. And then it also sounds like to him, the phrasing when he said, you know, there's just something about Georgia I can't put into words. It's just a feeling I get when I talk to Glenn Schumann and when I speak to Dan Lanning. And he said something to the effect of, it seems like they know a whole different ball game than anything else. And then with Noah, you've got him watching social media and checking out the Vanderbilt crowds and noticing how Georgia fans travel, and they turn every game into sort of like a home game. And maybe the final thing there, when you also learn about what's going through his mind, and that three-day unofficial he took back in summer was very big, so big to the point that maybe the biggest thing Georgia has to show him is, A, leave him with a wow emoji vibe about the crowd and the Georgia fans, and I'm as sure as that will happen as somebody will have chicken at a tailgate on Saturday. And then the second thing to think about is he just wants to feel a bond, a brotherhood, a kinship with the players he might play with, the players that are going to be there, and the players that are already there. And that's the sort of thing he's looking for. He's not looking for jerseys. He's not looking for facilities, not even looking for a black jersey. And I think the thing I just want to frame up the worries here for you, Brandon, a little bit, is this for the same reasons why a B.J. Ojolari might want to do his own thing with his ease. You got to kind of start thinking about that way with one Noah Sewell and his older brother, Panay Sewell, at Oregon. Because Panay is a man, you put him in the Andrew Thomas category when it comes to offensive tackles in college football, and I don't throw that term around lightly, because he's only going to be in Eugene, Oregon for one more season. So Noah's got to think a little deeper than that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's certainly worth paying attention to. Really good stuff at DogNation.com on that. And then one more before we let you go. I hope folks check out your piece with Theo Johnson, a tight end who's also going to be on campus on Saturday, along with another tight end, Darnell Washington. But couldn't help but notice in your piece with Theo, what is Alabama trying to do sneaking into the chicken coop? Don't they know they're a day late and a dollar short when it comes to Theo Johnson's recruitment? It's just like them, though, to try to get in this thing and make a big presence late there. What do you make of the tide coming on? I guess it speaks to the ways in which Theo has really kind of grown in his stature as a recruit. Interesting to hear him saying that Alabama seems to be making a tougher and a stronger pitch to him as of late.
Yeah, I found that intriguing. You know, I think I processed that by saying a fella and a young man's got to take five visits somewhere, and maybe for the last time in recruiting history, Miami was a school that he was considering, but he dropped Miami off of his official visit list and then decided to add an Alabama. That's something we're not kind of really used to seeing. And I thought Brandon the Warrior was going to come at me with a question like, Jeff, does this mean that Alabama is going to grab both Eric Gilbert and C.O. Johnson? They're going to pull the reverse chokehold figure four lock on the tight ends, which is what Georgia was trying to do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly it seems like they're in okay shape for Gilbert right now, and I guess that kind of does come to mind. But, you know, ultimately, I've kind of made my peace with all this. I think Georgia seemingly is in pretty good shape with Johnson and Washington. As you and I have said, they wouldn't be hosting him on the same Saturday if they didn't feel pretty good about that, especially with Hartley tweeting all the things that he's tweeting out, the Georgia tight ends coach. So at this point in time, I'm not, you know, listen, Alabama may get Gilbert, and if they do, I guess I'll shake their hand and wish Gilbert well. When it comes to the super team tandem of tight ends, I feel pretty good about Georgia's chances of doing that.
Brent, I need to get you on the record on this. You know, the true super team would add Darnell, Liesel Nell at tight end, and Theo at tight end, and then also add Eric Gilbert as a nice little piece nobody else has in college football as another receiver option for Georgia, who could also block pretty well on the perimeter as well. Then Kirby Smart and Georgia wouldn't have to worry about these talented five-star freshman receiver blocking out on the edge or learning how to block out on the edge. How would you feel about the ultimate greed is good part of the Georgia 2020 class? How would you feel about Georgia adding all three of those guys?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't complain about that. I mean, I've said before, admittedly, I do like Gilbert's game, but if it ends up being the other two, I'm plenty fine with that as well.
Man, I tell you, he's going to be at Texas A&M this weekend. There was some, you know, you guys still got to wait and watch on Gilbert, because I think Gilbert is quietly becoming an enigma as far as his recruiting goes, where he's just going to do things his own way and not by anybody else's rhyme or reason. And sometimes I think people analyze his moves a little too much when Gilbert's still trying to figure out the best spot for him in college football as it is.
So I was going to let you go, but now you've got me stirred up on something. Did you see, if you're going to start talking about visit weekends around the SEC, did I see this correctly, that one of like the only couple of Florida visitors they had scheduled, did he commit to Nebraska yesterday? And so now you can scratch off one of the very few names that Florida had coming in for its big home game against Tennessee. I have to admit, I was pretty entertained by that.
Brandon, you think that's the reason why Coach Mullen called in like he was Ray from Gainesville on Fine Mom's
show
yesterday?
Gosh, I heard that too. Yeah, Mullen is such a clown.
Just trying to pull in some exposure for Florida, Tennessee, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, I thought the Feinbaum call in was funny. I thought the kid, and I'm not even sure who it is. I think it's a defensive back.
Henry Gray.
Yeah, Henry Gray. Yeah. Yeah. When Florida is losing an in-state kid to Nebraska, who's just careening off a cliff as a program, boy, that is a tough look for the blue and gold there. I'm sorry, blue and orange. I got blue and gold in my brain. Blue and orange there on that. Nonetheless, Jeff, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you being a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. I'm thrilled about being with you in the forum this afternoon starting at 3 p.m. We're going to have a special kind of roundtable chat. We're inviting everybody to be a part of that. I'm sure there'll be lots of stuff thrown back and forth there in that regard from all of us. I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a good time. And I will obviously, of course, see you in Athens tomorrow for Dog Nation Express, presented by Kroger and Pella Window and Door for everything throughout the game, and then a part of our Pella Window post-game show when it's all said and done as well. So, Jeff, talk to you this afternoon in the forum and then throughout the day in Athens tomorrow.
Hey, Brandon, that'll be fun, man. I tell you, first question's already lined up for us. Folks want to know if King Dog Nation is wearing white or black or red. So you better have your on-the-record answer prepared for that, sir.
I'll have my script all ready to go on that. So looking forward to that, Jeff.
Hey, man. See you. See you by tomorrow.
Good stuff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, fun stuff from Jeff Sintel. We appreciate him being a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today, and we will look forward to having Devin Bellamy in the program coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, as a part of our program today, a few SEC Through stories I want to get to. First of all, we need to do our MyBookie Best Bets. Of course, my friends at MyBookie, they've got a great offer for you. When you sign up for the first time at MyBookie, they're going to give you a big deposit bonus. You can get up to $1,000 and get your first deposit doubled, but you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G. Use the promo code DOGNATION when you find MyBookie online. You get the big deposit bonus. Many of you have kind of done the fantasy thing before, things like that. You want to move into the betting world, and MyBookie is a great way to get started. And you get a big deposit bonus for doing so, but you got to make sure you use the promo code DOGNATION. So type in MyBookie, MYBOOKIE, use the promo code DOGNATION, get a big first deposit bonus, and then you're in after that. And then after that, it's simple. You play, you win, you get paid. That's how it works, my friends at MyBookie. All right, I'm going to run through my picks pretty quick because I'm going to do more detailed stuff on this as a part of our Go With The Flow presented by R.S. Andrews a little bit later on this afternoon on the Dog Nation video channel. So let's throw up the games on the screen. I'll kind of roll through my picks on this pretty quick. I do like Tennessee to keep it close against Florida. Does Florida win that game? Maybe so. Is Florida good enough to win easily versus Tennessee? Don't necessarily think so. LSU's been great at covering the spread. They are giving 23.5 on the road at Vanderbilt. My guess is that LSU covers that number again, a lot of points. But y'all go look at Ed Orgeron's stats as a coach against the spread. He's been very good there in that regard. Believe it or not, even though Ole Miss is terrible, I actually like Ole Miss to cover as a favorite at home versus Cal. I think the travel is an issue. I think the time zone stuff is an issue. I think when you see these teams ranked near the bottom of the top 25, which Cal is, against an unranked team, and the unranked team is favored. We've talked about that a lot. A lot of folks have had that stat on the internet. That's a pretty good predictor. It's like 21-4 in the last 25 instances where an unranked team has been favored over a team ranked near the bottom of the top 25. Pay attention to that and keep that in mind. Another coach that's been kind of secretly good against the spread has been Will Muschamp. Now, you don't think of South Carolina as winning many games, but you go back and look on the road, last dozen games or so, they've actually been better against the spread than you might think. I think that South Carolina with Helinski can keep it close against Missouri, at least closer than the 9.5 by which the Tigers are favored. I said this yesterday, and take this for what it's worth, but when you talk about freshman quarterbacks in big road venues this weekend, I expect more from Ryan Helinski than I expect from Bo Nix. Nix has gotten the hype and the attention, but I believe that Helinski is the best freshman quarterback in the SEC, if not potentially the best freshman quarterback in the country. So I trust Helinski in this spot, especially against a Missouri team that I just don't think of as necessarily all that physical. And frankly, I don't think Kelly Bryant is all that difficult to outplay, you know, going back and seeing some of the numbers he put up while he was the Clemson quarterback. Mississippi State's a 7-point favorite at home against Kentucky. I think they win by at least that much. I think that Kentucky's the worst team in the SEC East. I think the SEC West is slightly better than the East, and only the Mississippi State's the worst team in that division. That's all I need to know. Mississippi State's also been good historically versus Kentucky. Remember, these two teams play every year. This is a talent advantage in favor of the Wildcats, after all. And then a couple other quick games. I think that Auburn, Texas A&M's a ton of fun. I think A&M's a program on the rise. I think Auburn's a program on its way down. That's enough for me. I think Jimbo beats Gus Malzahn here. I don't trust Bo Nix in the spot. Now, Kellen Mond hasn't played great. I'll grant you that. But I do not trust Bo Nix. Also, the fun one in the Big Ten between Wisconsin and Michigan. It's our big national game. We'll focus on that for a moment. Believe it or not, I'm going to give Harbaugh one more shot to win a big game. And if he doesn't do that, I'm done with him forever. A couple other quick stories as part of our SEC through. Have y'all been following the weird thing going on with Cash Daniel from Kentucky? And, you know, Dan Mullen's been upset about that. Florida's been upset about that. Do we have the video? Can we show this? It's captured by a lot of people on Twitter. What looks to be Daniel trying to twist the ankle of is that Kyle Trask he's trying to twist that ankle for? Seems to be an intentional attempt to injure on the part of Daniel. Daniel had a weird explanation for why that happened this week. Maybe I should be scandalized by this, but I'm not. Some people are calling for the suspension of Daniel. I don't know. I mean, I feel like in the scrum, in the pile, a lot of things happen. I know you think, well, you're just saying that because he's twisting the ankle of a Florida player. I don't want anyone to intentionally injure anyone. I just don't know that what Daniel's doing here is all that much different than what you're seeing in a lot of scrums and a lot of piles. But we'll let other people that maybe follow this game closely weigh in on that. Let me show you one more thing here. For those of you watching on video, and I apologize for this being video only, our buddy Mad Dog on Twitter, we talked about Antonio Alfano earlier in the week. He sent us a really funny edit that he made of Nick Saban holding up the milk carton with Antonio Alfano's picture on it because basically Saban admitted he's kind of lost track of Antonio Alfano. I thought that was a pretty good job by our buddy Mad Dog, really funny stuff. We'll make that your SEC through and hope you enjoy Davin Bellamy right now. All right, now here on Dog Nation Daily, a lot of you have been talking about this week. We wanted to hear it from the guy who made it happen, Davin Bellamy, one of the stars of Georgia's 2017 win at Notre Dame. Thrilling sack there at the end of the game that preserved that victory. Davin, first of all, welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. We really appreciate you spending some time with us, and hope things are good for you these days.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I want to thank you guys for having me. You know, anytime I can try to talk about my dogs, man, I'd love to do that.
That's great to hear. And as I said before, you know, so many people this week have been talking about what you and your team did in 2017 and the role that you played in making that victory happen. How special is that for you to know that people still have so many fond memories of that? It was one of the great trips that Georgia fans have ever taken. And then you make the big play there at the end. What does it mean to you to know that people still remember that so fondly?
Man, that means a lot. You know, previously we had only played Notre Dame one time. So that was the second time we played them, and we don't play them often. So for that to happen, you know, against a team on a stage like that, that doesn't really happen. You know, it really means a lot to me that I'm still in, you know, dog fans' hearts. You know, a lot of people reached out to me, you know, because dog fans did travel a lot to that game. So a lot of them have reached out to me and was like, you know, that day was the best day of my life, or I was going through something and I was at the game and you did that. It just helped me forget what I was going through. So, I mean, after everything you do, you know, on the field, I think the main thing that people want to be is remembered, you know, when they leave somewhere. So that really sits well with me.
So on the sack that leads to the fumble that ends the game, essentially, you know, you get past a very good Notre Dame offensive line. I mean, they had first-round picks along that offensive line, and yet you find a way into the backfield. What are your own personal memories of that moment?
Well, just basically just, you know, preparation. I remember, I know in college, you know, I did watch film on the tackles that I was going against, but for this one, it was kind of different because we – day one of preparing for them when we're going over the personnel, you know, Coach Warren kind of challenged me in zone, like, you know, you got to think out pass rushers well. You'll get your chance to prove yourself this weekend against the number one tackle in college football. So when you hear that, you know, it just gets your, you know, antennas up. And I just remember all week watching film on them and knowing what move I was going to do and telling my scout team exactly to do what he does. And then on Saturday, man, you know, it all just came together.
Well, let me ask you this as well. From going back to that game, that's the first start, obviously, in Jake Fromm's career. And you look ahead now, he's in his junior season, and he's obviously seasoned and poised and confident. What do you remember about him then? Nervousness? Was there trepidation about being a just out of high school, now you're starting at Notre Dame? What do you remember about Fromm that night?
I do. One thing that I will go to my grave always saying is that I feel like day one he was ready. I didn't sense any nervousness from him. He's a guy that prepares so much, and I can only imagine how much he prepares now versus when I was there, him being a freshman. But he prepares so much that, you know, I don't think he was nervous because he didn't show any. Like I tell people all the time, you know, his first day there, we're doing voluntary 7-on-7, and he's a freshman leading the offense out. No coaches there, and we got this senior studded defense, and he's bossing us around. And I think that's when we realized, you know, that we have something different here. You know, early before the season even started, you see him in the quarterback's room lower than everybody, later than everybody, before everybody. And we hadn't even played a game yet, and he's the backup, you know, the known backup behind Jacob. So when he finally took those reins, man, you know, he was prepared for it. And he took it and never looked back, but I never dated, I mean, I never doubted Jake Fromm at all, or because of his age. You know, he's very wise on his years.
When you watch this current Georgia team now, there's such a emphasis that's been put on the pass rush and tackles for loss, and this is something that Georgia's obviously stated as a goal to get better at for this season. How much fun is that for you as a guy that also likes getting after quarterbacks to know that this current Georgia team, with some of the young talent they've brought in, they've made that such a point of emphasis so far this season, and obviously a huge topic during the off season. How much do you like hearing that kind of stuff?
You know, I love it. You know, me and Zoe actually joke about it all the time about if we would have they kind of would have let us off the leash a little bit, and we probably would have had 13 sacks of keys to it. Because now what I'm seeing, man, they just letting those guys run around, you know, but I love it. You know, we got athletes in those positions, and we're always at least four or five deep for the last, you know, 5 years, man. So I love watching the guys play. Most of those guys, basically all those guys are on the team now. You know, I kind of was with them, you know, when they came up here on their recruiting visit. Or, you know, those guys were following me on Twitter and Instagram when they was in high school. So I built relationships with those guys early, man. And I'm just happy to see, you know, them carrying out, you know, this Wolfpack tradition, man. You know, four or five of us out there just hunting. So I love watching it.
Before we let you go, I got to get your thoughts on what you think happens on Saturday. Georgia's a big favorite versus Notre Dame. You think it's going to be that easy? What do you expect to happen between the hedges, between the Dogs and the Irish?
Right now, my guess is a 24-17, 31-17 type game, Dogs. You know, to be honest with you, I think this team right here, man, they're so deep at every position. They're so fast. It's freaks all over the field. But, you know, Notre Dame has talent also. But I think it's just going to come down to Georgia having more. I mean, our two, threes, and fours are just five-star recruits that be starters everywhere. And you saw that last week when the fifth string back came in and looked like he could have played anywhere in the country. So I think that's just going to – that's what's going to be the, you know, the set apart. You know, for both squads, but I'm excited to watch, man. I'm very excited to watch, man. This has been a good year for the Dogs, man. We look different. We just look different, man. We look different.
You know, I think that's well said. It's a very impressive-looking team right now, and I know a lot of Georgia fans are looking forward to seeing that continue on Saturday. Davin, you've got a lot of fans around Dog Nation. They're certainly very proud of the career you put together at UGA, and it's great, I'm sure, for many to get a chance to hear you here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. We really appreciate your time, and hope to see you back in Athens again at some point in time soon as well.
Yes, sir, for sure, man. Thanks for having me, and I love Dog Nation, and, you know, I'm here anytime, man. Thank you.
Good stuff there from Davin Bell. I mean, yes, those watching on video noticed that the shirt was different than what I'm wearing right now. We recorded that yesterday. I meant to put my black pullover on so I could try to keep that part a secret. I just forgot to do that before the video. Also really funny to hear from Davin. We've heard, you know, Jonathan Ledbetter kind of echoes this same kind of thing. A lot of those guys that used to play for Georgia, especially in recent years under Kirby Smart, seeing the emphasis on the pass rush right now, a lot of them both half kidding and to a certain degree half serious say, boy, wouldn't it have been nice to been able to be turned loose and get after quarterbacks the way this current crop of Dogs are getting that opportunity. Really good stuff from Davin Bellamy there. Let me set the stage for the weekend real quick as part of our Kroger kickoff here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Obviously, when you think about the weekend, you think about getting stocked up at Kroger for whatever you're doing, whether it be a football party this weekend or just anything around the patio, the pool, or anything else. This time of year, Kroger is the place to go to get ready for all of that. And of course, we think about the weekend around Dog Nation, we also have Kroger in our mind too, because Kroger is such a big part of that. So here is our video schedule for tomorrow on the Dog Nation video channels. Our Dog Nation Express is going to get going tomorrow afternoon. We're going to actually do a video there live from that, kind of bring you some of the sights and sounds from an incredible game day atmosphere around Athens. We'll be on around 2:30 for that. Dog Nation Express, of course, presented by Kroger and Pella Window and Door. We'll do that around 2:30. And then I know a lot of you are eager to see the dog walk tomorrow. We'll be on the air for our Kroger kickoff live from just next to the dog walk starting around 5:30 p.m. tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. We'll show you all the pageantry of the Georgia team as it comes into Sanford Stadium. And then after the game, inside the UGA bookstore, for our Pella Window postgame show, we'll look forward to seeing you there for that. It's our Kroger kickoff here this weekend, looking towards the weekend with our friends from Kroger. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, you know, Kroger makes family dinner nights really easy. You can gather family, and dinner's done. Just a $10 meal deal. How about savory roasted chicken, a salad kit, mashed potatoes, and a baguette? It's just $10, an incredible deal to get ready for a really great meal at home. That's an important thing, and Kroger is helping you set up and do just that. All right, as we get ready to wrap up here, let me take care of a couple of pretty interesting pieces of business. First of all, a lot of you sent this to me on Twitter yesterday. I guess the Notre Dame equipment truck broke down driving from South Bend, Indiana into Athens. You see a picture of right here on your screen that somebody sent me. The top left corner is the truck itself with, like, the hood opened up and having to work on the engine. The other pictures there are just to verify it was indeed the Notre Dame equipment truck. There was in some reporting on this yesterday that the truck was repaired and kind of back on the roads. Fact check, apparently that's not the case, according to Cole Calfee, who reached out to me on Twitter and said that's fake news, that the truck, that he just passed the truck, which is being towed on I-24 west of Chattanooga. So the saga of the Notre Dame truck has been kind of a funny subplot the last couple days. Nonetheless, y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll see you back here Monday on Dog Nation Daily. By the way, Gator Hater 1056. Talk to you Monday.